Let's pray for him. Father, we thank you for Doug and for his amazing love for you and for your children. We pray, Lord, that as he brings your word today, that it may go out with power. Thank you for the promise that you have given us, that your word will never return to you void. And so we pray that our hearts may be opened, our ears unstopped, that we may hear what you have to say to us through Doug. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Henry, and morning, everyone. Just a special welcome to you guys coming back from varsity. It's so lovely seeing all you guys. And Joel as well, back from boarding school. Just, yeah, so good to have you all with us. It feels more like a complete family with having you guys with us today. So I think just what we've heard from the worship is just amazing, that we are forgiven, we are loved by God, and we can have this assurance of our salvation. And aren't those just amazing things, that through the ups and downs of life, we can hold firmly onto God. But the reality is, as much as God loves us, there's lots in each of our lives that still needs to change. And so we've been talking about generosity and giving the last few weeks, and we're going to be continue talking about that today, and this is going to be the last of our preachers on that. But I want you to be open to God speaking to you and saying, is there anything, Lord, in my life when it comes to giving and generosity that you want to challenge me in? And I want to start off today with a picture that we had at our elders retreat at the beginning of this year. And often we pray to the Lord and ask him to show us what his will for us is and what he has to say to our church. And this was one of the pictures. You can see a heart in the background there, and it's highlighting the archery that is coming into the heart. And in the picture in the front, you can see that archery was getting blocked. Okay, so I don't know if any of you have had a heart attack before, but it's often to do with something like this. Right, where something, this flow of blood that comes to this critical organ of our hearts gets blocked off. And we just felt that it was a picture for our church, or some of us, I think probably all of us to an extent in our church, is that the love that is coming from Christ to us can sometimes get blocked off. And that then prevents that lifeblood flowing through us to the people around us. And I think money is one of those key things that actually can get in the way of our relationship with God. And that's why we've really felt to speak about this. And it's been, we don't speak about money in the church that often. I think this is it was 3 years ago or something before since we had a series about money. But we really felt that this was one of those blockages that we can have. And all of us want to have healthy hearts, right? We all want to have healthy hearts. We want God to be able to move in us and through us to the people around us. Okay. So just as I wrap up this series on generosity today, I want you to do a bit of a self-diagnosis as we go through. Okay, so listen, that's great, but please listen and ask God, is there anything in my heart that is blocking your generosity flowing through me? Is that okay? Great. Right, so today I've titled the sermon, Kingdom Giving. We often speak about kingdom living, right, just the way we live and follow Jesus. But giving is really just such an integral part of the kingdom, and it really does need a special focus. And it all starts with Jesus. We read John 3:16, and we've heard this already this morning. For God so loved the world, that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So our salvation started with just a very generous God. We wouldn't be here today, wouldn't have a relationship with God if it wasn't for his generosity and his openness to send his Son as a sacrifice for each of us. And Jesus' teachings are radically different to what we hear in the world around us. What you'll hear at university, what you'll read in some of the textbooks that you might read about money. And I just want to remind you of that before I go on to the heart of the teaching today. So I spoke about this a few weeks back, and it was just comparing our culture's view about money to Jesus' view about money. So our culture basically says more money, more happiness. More things, more happiness, right? And we get adverts every day on your phones, whatever it is. It's like, get this thing, it's going to make you happy. But Jesus says something just so different. And we read it in Acts 20, verse 35. He said, you should remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It's more blessed to give than to receive. So in Jesus' language, in Jesus, in the kingdom of God, more generosity, not more money, is more happiness. And it's just, it's so different to what the world says. It really is just fundamentally different. It's not about having more. Actually, he says you will be blessed as you give. And I know I want to be blessed. I want to have the blessings of God in my life. I'm sure all of us want that. So that means is that what we need to do with our hands is not hold on to things tightly. If we're going to have God's blessings, we need to be willing to open that hand and let his goodness and his grace and his love flow through us to others. The truth is that the love of money can take our hearts away from God, and it can even shipwreck our faith. And we hear of people who that's happened to. But the counter, the practice to the breaker, to breaking the gravitational pull of money, is really giving. So money does just tend to pull us. I mean, I think any of us know that we have this natural tendency to want more money, more things. But what God's solution to that is give, and it's going to break. It'll help break that bond that money has on us. So ultimately, what the Bible teaches us is that what we're searching for in money, we're searching for the good life, a life where we're able to live freely, we're able to experience all that life has to offer. We often search for that in money, but it can only really be found in God. That's what the Bible teaches us. Only actually through Jesus, through knowing him and following him, can we actually have this abundant life that the Bible talks about. We think just a little more, and I will be content. But the contentment that you are searching for can never be found in things. That's the reality. And, you know, we've seen it with our boys even growing up. If you've got kids, your kids are always looking at the next thing. Whether it's the next cell phone or the next bike or the next pair of frisbee boots, whatever it might be. We all have this desire. It's like, what is the next thing? Is it the next house? Is it the next upgrade to our house? Is it a car? Is it, you know, what is it? Is it the next pair of shoes that my friend has? And we so easily run after those things. And it can so easily become a hamster wheel, just running after the next thing, the next thing, the next thing, the next thing. But what is so amazing, Reeves, like those amazing soccer boots that you have, they're starting to get old already. Eh? Do you even remember that they're new? But it's amazing, like the shine of possessions, it goes after a while. Haven't you found that? Like, it's before you get something, it's like, yes, it's arriving tomorrow. Like, you get it and it's like, wow. But like, by the afternoon of it, it's like, huh. Or a week later, you hardly remember that those shoes are new and you're already looking at the next one, eh? It's like it's a hamster wheel. It's such a lie, actually, that we're never going to find true happiness in possessions as much as the advertising out there says this is the next big thing. Okay, so let me remind you what is needed to transition from this worldly mindset into a mindset where finances come second or third or fourth, and it's not at the top of our agendas. So what I spoke about a while ago was this idea that truth needs to enter our heads first. We need to have a mindset change. We need to understand what God's word says. And from there, that can start to impact our hearts. And only when our hearts are unlocked, are our hands open to give to the people around us. So when it comes to our heads, the question is, what do you believe about God? The world says that we must view the world around us through a scarcity mindset. Basically, there's not enough. There's never going to be enough. There's never going to be enough for you. There's never going to be enough for your family. So hang on tight. Hang on tight to what you've got. Keep your hand closed. If you get something, hang on to it. hold on to your possessions, look after number one. That's kind of what we hear out there. But as Christ followers, we're encouraged to have an abundance mindset. Why should we have an abundance mindset? Anyone? Okay, exactly. Who's our Father? Our Father is the provider, the maker of heaven and earth, the maker of all things, the one who has all things. And because he's our Father, we should have a different mindset to those that don't know him. So because of that, we should have a generous mindset, one where we trust God to provide for us so we can then provide for others. And then we also need to examine our hearts. Are we trusting in ourselves, our own ability to generate wealth, and storing up resources so that we'll be safe? That's a typical thing we all want to do, isn't it? We all want to make sure we've got a big retirement fund. We want to make sure that we hold on to enough for our kids maybe to get a good education one day. We want to be able to save up for that pair of shoes or that cell phone. That's naturally what we do. But what the Bible teaches us is that we should be putting God first. We should be trusting in him to meet our needs. And we should be open to sharing the resources that we have with others. It's a big change in heart, and God needs to do something in us. I know I've got to say, I'm a MacFarlane. And I think when it comes to, I think if you take Scottish, Indian, and maybe just like a generalities, like typically maybe those people are people that tend to hold on to things. I know Scottish, we want to hold on to stuff. Like we are stingy as anything. That's like a general characterization. And I've got to say, it's a real journey for me in this thing of just looking after myself to slowly letting go. And I've still got a long way to go, but I think that's the journey that God wants to take us all on. He wants to unlock our hearts so that at the end of the day, we can open our hands to those around us. Okay. So if you have a look at your hands, I talked about doing a bit of a check. When was the last time you gave to someone in need? When is the last time you gave to ministry, say an evangelist or someone who's doing the work of God? When did you do that? Maybe when did you last see someone who was in need and walk past them, even though you felt God prompting you to do something about that? And I'm sure each of you can probably think of a situation where you say, I messed up on that one. I could have been a blessing, but I actually wasn't. And God wants us to have these open hands so that we can be a blessing to the people around us. Okay, before we complete the series, I'd like us to spend some time exploring a picture of kingdom giving. And those of you who know me know I love drawing pictures. I just tend to find that as I'm trying to understand God's word, drawing a picture tends to kind of concretize things for me. It helps me just to understand it a bit better. So excuse me if it's not the greatest picture, but hopefully it'll come together and make sense to you. Okay, so this is the picture. So you'll see basically from the top there, we've got a generous God. And the reality is this generous God is able to satisfy all of our needs. So imagine all the resources in the kingdom and the entire planet are with that amazingly generous God. So that's where it all starts. It starts with a generous God. And I've got some verses that I'd like us to read through just to give us a bit of a sense of what this generous God is like that we follow. So Acts 17, 24 to 25 says this. And this is Paul. He was preaching in Athens, and he had this to say. Here's the God who made the world and everything in it. Since he is Lord of heaven and earth, he doesn't live in man-made temples, and human hands can't serve his needs. For he has no needs, a God who has no needs. He himself gives life and breath to everything, and he satisfies every need. Right? He satisfies every need. So anything that is needed can be satisfied through God. Another one, Psalm 145:16. when you open your hand, this is talking about God now, when you open your hand, you satisfy the hunger and thirst of every living thing. So that's what God can do. Philippians 4:19. And the same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. He's able to supply all our needs. Okay. And then Matthew 6:31-33. So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat, what will we drink, what will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. How's that, that God knows all our needs? That's amazing, isn't it? So what he says is, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. It's just such an amazing promise that as we seek God's kingdom first, he'll take care of us. So I think that needs to be our focus, is seeking the kingdom of God first and then trusting him to meet our needs. Okay, so we've talked about God. Now I want to talk about us, his people. So can you see this idea of God's generosity flowing down to us as people? So those black people there, that's us. That's his church. That's anyone who knows God. And if we're in relationship with God, we receive our provision from him, right? Does that make sense? So we're recipients of God's generosity. And some of that money is to meet our needs, right? It's to care for our family, to look after them. Some of that money is to build for the future. God puts dreams in our hearts, and sometimes we'll invest in things in a business or saving towards retirement one day. We're not saying that those things are all bad, but sometimes those can be the only things that actually we're interested in. And we're called, each of us, to be good stewards of what we get, right? So God gives us, and then he says, be good stewards of this. And there's some amazing parables in the scriptures that talk to what it means to be a good steward. And so if you're interested, I'd encourage you to go and have a look at some of those scriptures. So we've got God, who's amazingly generous, and then we've got us, his people. So, and then what I've got at the bottom is basically all the people that we might be connected to. So what happens if we've all got blocked hearts? What happens with God's generosity? It stops there, right? And God's picture of his people is not a people who he just blesses and it stops there. It's never been that. His plan is always that he blesses us so that we can be a blessing to others. So this is really, I think, at the core of this message around generosity, is that God showers his love to us, and as he transforms our hearts and challenges us, and then as we're obedient to him, when God says, give, and we give, we land up having this amazing impact on the people around us. So it's just, for me, it was just a nice picture of this amazing God and how his resources are supposed to flow. It's a picture of what the church is supposed to be like in terms of from God's generosity through to our generosity from God expressed to others around us. So I've got a few scriptures here that I just want to use just to solidify, in a sense, that thought. So the first is 1 Timothy 6, verse 17 to 19. This is what it says. Teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. So amazing, God gives us all we need. It's not just for giving. He gives it for our enjoyment as well. He cares about us. Tell them to use their money to do good. So to let this money flow. He's saying, don't just keep it for yourselves. They must be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. It's such a straight word, isn't it? Make sure that we've got open hands. That's what he's commanding us to do. So can you see the picture? God blesses us so that we can bless others, right? Okay. Now, I think this is the last scripture for today. 2 Corinthians 9, 8 to 12 says this. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor, their good deeds will be remembered forever. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take our gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. Isn't that a lovely picture? I mean, like, as people are then touched by our generosity, it's not about them thanking us. It's about them saying God is good and turning to God. So our generosity can be a real witness to the people around us. But also our stinginess can also be a witness on the negative side. If we're holding on to our things, what does it say about our trust in God as well? Now, if you read this, you might think, well, that sounds a little bit like prosperity gospel. You know, it's saying, well, you know, you give, and maybe you give to get. We've all kind of maybe have been a bit concerned with those kind of teachings. But the motive for generosity in those that speak about the prosperity gospel is all about greed. It's about give for self. It's not about giving for others. The focus of the heart is saying, I'm going to give and I'm expecting God to give back. And nowhere in the Bible can we expect God just to give back to us. It's not like I give so that I will get. That's not the teaching. God gives so that we can give. And so I think that's the so that in this particular word is so important. I just want to see where it is again. Yeah, there we go, verse 11. Yes, you will be enriched in every way, so that, not you can be wealthy, so that you can always be generous. So God's blessing comes to us so that we can be generous. And when we give as good stewards, God often does give us even more. I think there are many people we know that God's blessed them immeasurably out of their goodness. But the truth is that as we give, we don't always get wealthy. And we mustn't have that expectation as well. Our harvest might come back in very different ways. It might just be through relationships. It might be through health. It might be through other means. But God will bless us as we give. But his purpose is not to make us rich. It's really just to make us more generous. So just in terms of what we've been using a lot of John Mark Comer's, his teachings to guide some of our teachings, and he put it this way, God blesses us to raise our standard of giving, not our standard of living. And I thought that's so good, because we're all after this improved standard of living, and we can often run after that. But God blesses us not to raise our standard of living, but to raise our standard of giving. That's what Jesus' teachings say. Now, as we move to a close, I want to take you to another picture. And this is also a picture that we had in our oldest retreat. And this is a picture of the Victoria Falls in Zimbabwe. And you can see there water is trickling down the rocks, right? It's a picture of water gushing down the rocks. It's Victoria Falls in full flow. And the sense of that was that God is wanting to flow through us in a beautiful picture of his power and love. So he wants us to be like these conduits for him. He wants the Spirit to work in us and through us. So there's this amazing overflow of his love to people around us. And so if you put the pictures together, you can see, so that's the Victoria Falls in the background. There's this big river, amazingly powerful river, and it comes and it splits up as it gets up to the falls, and then it flows over the falls. And you can imagine if there was a dam upstream or something, that would be a problem, right? There would be no water or less water coming downstream. And essentially, we're meant to be this recipient of God's love, but it's meant to then flow out and through us, like over the falls, into the communities around us. So it's a cool picture of God wanting to just use us as these conduits for his love. So in closing, what is the picture that best represents your life today? When people look at your life, do they see this amazing flowing river? Is that what they see? Are they astounded by your love? Do they look at you and say, wow, this person is the most loving person I know? They're astounded by your kindness and your goodness. Or are you sitting here, maybe you're sitting here with a blocked heart today. Maybe you actually know that God's given to me and he wants me to open my hand, but I just can't. And I think the truth is that we all go through different stages of life where sometimes we just want to hang on and other times when we actually are willing to open our hands. But I believe that God wants to unblock our hearts today. God wouldn't have given us these pictures as a church if he didn't want to say, guys, in this church, there's some of you that have got blocked hearts. And I want you to open your hands so that we really do have an impact on the people around us. So I know for me, I'm certainly not that picture yet. But God wants to take us on that journey to be this amazing river of his life to those around us. So I was going to ask, or maybe I will still ask, is there anyone here who really feels that there is a blockage in your heart towards this thing of giving, that you actually just can't let go? And I think the reason why I ask is that it can be a spiritual thing as well, and Jesus can unblock our hearts. It's not just trying hard, it's actually we need God's Spirit to come and do some work in our hearts. So, I don't know, is there anyone who would be brave enough to say, that's me today? God, I want you to unblock my heart. And it might not be that it's totally blocked and you never give anything, but you really feel God saying, that's you. I want you to be prayed for today that God would unblock your heart. So I don't know if there's anyone like that. Would you be brave enough to stand and let me pray for you? Can I ask that we all actually stand? Because I think as much as we may feel that our hearts are not totally blocked, the reality is that God's got something to do in each of our lives. And I think the truth is also is that there's seasons of life where it's very hard to give. And God knows each of our hearts and our situations as well. So I want to pray two things. I want to pray that God would just unlock our hearts and unblock off our hearts, but that he also would provide for needs where those are there. Okay, so let's pray together. Father God, just thank you so much for your heart of love towards us. Lord, we read repeatedly in Scripture how you are a generous God. You're a God who loves us and will provide all our needs if we follow you and trust you, Lord. So Jesus, for those of us that are struggling at the moment, Lord Jesus, we look to you. And Jesus, we just pray that you would meet the needs of everyone in this church. Lord, you know what each of us needs. And you know that there are those amongst us, Lord, that really need a door to be opened by you. So we just want to pray into that space, Lord Jesus, and pray that you would meet needs. But Lord, as much as we pray this and we ask you, Lord, we actually know that you want us to be part of the solution. Lord Jesus, you give to each of us, and there's a wealth of resources that come into our hands, everyone in this church. And Lord Jesus, I just pray that for each of us, that by your Spirit, that you would help just to open our hearts to you. Lord, I pray that if there are people here that are really saying, sheesh, my heart is blocked. Lord, there are probably 100 different reasons, Lord, and they might well be all valid. But Lord, we just pray that you would unblock people's hearts today, that they would really just be able to trust you for to supply their needs Won't you just unlock our hearts and our hands, Lord Jesus, so that we can be a blessing to those around us? We just ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.